Good morning, and good morning to all the ambassador, this church member, okay? And also, good morning to those from Kuala Lumpur, okay? The one from Kuala Lumpur is Brother Chang's family, okay? Today, the theme for your church, okay? Your pastor told me is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, let's read that verse, okay? Let's all stand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, okay? And let's read this together, okay? There's only one verse, verse 8, okay? Just like you read it one time already, okay? Just read so that we will be reminded of this again. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you once again for your faithfulness. We are thankful that, Lord, you are still working in lives, and we are thankful that, Lord, you are working in and through Ambassador Baptist Church. Lord, indeed, we are thankful for Pastor Johnny Tan and his family, that, Lord, you use them in this ministry here. And we are thankful that this morning they are celebrating their 9th anniversary, a testimony of your faithfulness to them and to the church. And, Lord, we pray that you will continue to work in and through this church as they seek to grow further, as they seek to do more for you in this part of Singapore. We just pray the Lord that you will even bless our time now as we look into your word and be comforted and be strengthened by your word. We pray the Lord that you help us to be diligent in obeying your word. Thank you once again for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have your seat. This morning when I came into the church, and I received this bulletin, and when I look at that, I say, I did not give your pastor the message, but he already had the message down here. So, but then it was not my name there, but it was Johnny, Pastor Johnny Tan. This was not written by me, it was written by your pastor, but this is the mess, this is the what we call the theme, okay, for the theme verse, and he gave me this as a theme verse. So as a preacher, when someone gives you a theme verse, you use that theme verse to prepare a message. And so the message is here. So today we are going to take this out and read this together, and then we'll be done. And I was shocked. I said, okay, is it exactly the same or not? There's some difference here, okay? So so I still can go on and preach my message. But the thing is that one thing about the Word of God, it doesn't matter who preached the Word of God, who is going to stand here and teach. If he take the Word of God seriously and he rightly dividing the Word of God, it will be about the same, okay? So whatever I did not cover is here, okay? And whatever I say disagree with his, I'm right and he is wrong, okay? No, just joking, okay? We won't disagree with one another. I read through this, okay, just now quickly. And he had more points than me. Because he told me that I can only preach the most 1 hour, so I won't take a 9-point message. Okay, here is a 9-point message. So, as a pastor, okay, before I became a pastor, just to give you a brief history, this because it's the first time I'm here, I was in construction. I serve as I work in a company, okay? I'm not very sure whether you know Sunway, Bata Sunway, you know, and for Singaporean, maybe you know the Sunway Lagoon. I was there. I was in charge of that. Not say in charge of that, Sunway Lagoon. I was in the project, and before they even fill out the water in the Sunway Lagoon, I was able to go all the way down to the bottom of the lagoon, so-called, okay? It was actually it was a mining ground, okay? They dig until it's the big hole, then they change it to a lagoon, okay? So before they fill out with water, we have to go down there and do some kind of work and inspection and things like that. So I was with Bandar Sunway until God called me to the full-time ministry. And that was back in 1991, okay? 91 I surrendered. So 1990, end of 1990, during Christmas time, I was reading the Bible, and God showed me from the boy Ezekiel that he was looking for a man to stand in the gap. And all. At that time, I did not know that God was calling me. I thought God is calling someone, and I just feel that there should be others who can go and fill out the gap. And so a few days later, we have the wash night service, and I was not asked to preach that night. I was not that faithful that time, by the way. And so there are different men who came and that night in the wash night service, and they preached and shared from the Word of God. So after that, it was a time for testimony. I still remember I was the very first one who raised my hand and ran out and to be so eager. That was the first time in my life I was so eager to testify. And then I stood up there and I said, okay, a few days ago I read from the Bible, okay, God said in Ezekiel 20, verse 30, you know, look for a man to stand in the gap. And this evening I see so many, okay, all these men who is able to preach, you know, and but then the Lord was actually calling me. And so for the next few months, it was a difficult month in my life, because there was a struggle between serving the Lord or continue in my career, construction career, to make my way in this career path, to be the project manager and even to be a developer eventually. And that was my goal in life. But so that 3 months, there was a real struggle until finally I remember every morning I need to drive to the workplace, and I will stop at the along the expressway. Then I need to wait for a friend and to drive her to the workplace together. And so I'll be reading from the book of Psalms, and so every day I read one or two psalms, sometimes a few psalms while waiting for that person. And so in 3 months, okay, I read. So you can know how fast I read in that 3 months, okay? So you know sometimes it's a few psalms in that morning. And so 3 months later, I came to Psalm 84. Okay? And that morning, actually a few days before that morning, that was a real struggle, okay? I almost, in my prayer was like, I say, God, if you want me to serve you, let me know. If you don't want me to serve you, let me go, okay? That was a real struggle in my heart, you know, like, should I do this or should I do? And then, and so that morning when I read Psalm 84, and it was interesting that the Word of God say something like that. He said, in verse 10, you know, he said, for a day in thy court is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So that morning when I read that verse, it was almost like saying, Bill, it's almost like God talking to me, Bill, it's up to you now. You can choose to be a doorkeeper in my house, or you can just continue to live in the world, in the tent of wickedness, continue to work in construction, earn your money, you know, and do whatever you want. And so that morning I decided, Lord, if that is what you want, I surrender to serve you full time. A month later, I was out of job. It was very fast, okay? And some people say, how come you can make decisions so fast? You know, God called you in December, then God confirmed the call in March, and then in April, you were just waiting, okay? That was the last month. And so, 1st of May, I was out of job, no more job. And I say, the reason why it's so fast is because I was naive, okay? I don't know what is the ministry all about. I don't know what is involved and the difficulty that is involved, you know, and things like that. Of course, there's not just difficulty. There's a lot of joy and blessing along the way. But that is what happened, okay? So have been preaching all these years. And thank God for His faithfulness, because over all this year, we have seen a lot of changes in my family's life, in the church life, and thank God for all those things, you know. And one of the things that I like to do, okay, before I became a pastor was I like to travel, and so after I became the pastor, actually I was not able to travel anymore because you don't have that much income, okay. I would make one of my last trip, okay. I visited with the preacher. That was when I was still working with all the money that I have. I was able to travel with that preacher to Indonesia, to Hong Kong, to Philippines, and then to China. And also it was before I surrendered to full-time ministry. After I surrendered to full-time ministry, I was not able to travel. You know, your finances is so tight. And so the only country that I traveled after that was only Singapore, I guess. It's close enough to just drive down. So, and I was invited to preach in some of the churches here in Singapore. And so after that, it was basically for many years, I don't travel that much. But thank God that in 2002, a preacher from America came and he said he wanted to give me a trip, okay, a mission trip, free mission trip. He said he would pay for all the expenses, but he wanted me to go together with him to this Myanmar, Yangon. And so that was in 2002, okay. I took my very first mission trip with this American preacher. So we went to Yangon and we go to a church to preach, and then at the same time we visited Yangon, okay. And and one afternoon we went to this we took a river cruise. When I was in that cruise, it goes around, okay, at the river, and you can see the whole from another perspective. So when I was there, I saw a very big and very impressive temple. Because in my heart, I thought, and not just normal temple, it was a Chinese temple. And of course, you know, when you see a Chinese temple, you know. And so my heart was kind of I feel kind of joy. I said, okay, there must be some very influential Chinese here in this country, or there may be quite many. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a Chinese temple there. And but of course, I did not stay long enough. But later, I did go to this Chinatown and able to talk to some Chinese. But I did not share a lot, okay? But I get to know some of them. And that they are there working as business people. And so this is what happened when I can feel how Paul felt, okay, when he first came into Thessalonica. You know, the Bible tells us that when he came to the seaport of Thessalonica, that is in Acts chapter 17, okay, you can go back and read. And here you find that when he came out from the ship, okay, I believe he could see the famous Mount Olympus. You know, he was there, but then I believe that thing was not the one who captured his attention. When he was there, he saw a synagogue. They made a meeting place of the Jewish people. And this city at that time was only about 200,000 people. And Paul was there, and Paul was, I believe, very happy when he saw. But Paul did more than me. You know, I did not do anything, okay? I just feel, okay, they're Chinese. Hopefully, I can see some of these Chinese. But then Paul, because of his love for the Jewish people, we know that the Apostle Paul loved his own countrymen. In fact, in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, he says something like that. I say that the truth of in Christ, I lie not. My conscience are my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So that is how much he loved his own countrymen. He said, if I be accursed for my countrymen, I'll do that. And then he go on in verse chapter 10, verse 1, say, Romans, okay? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wants his own people to be saved. So when he was in Thessalonica, he went to this, the Bible tells us that he went to this synagogue as his manner was, okay? And he went in unto them, the Bible says, for 3 Sabbath day, that means 3 week in a row, 3 Sabbath, he reasoned with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must have suffered and risen again from the dead. And this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So for 3 week in a row, consecutively, okay, 3 week in a row, okay, he preached to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that every time when the word of God is being preached, just like here on Sunday, every Sunday I believe Pastor Johnny Dunn will preach the gospel. He might not just preach a salvational message, but I believe every message he preached, there will be the gospel there. He will preach about Christ came and died for you on the cross of Calvary, and how he must die for all of the sinner, and without Christ there is no hope, no salvation. He must have preached that every Sunday, I believe. You must have heard that many, many, see, for these 9 years, you have heard him preach about Christ. I believe almost, it can be every Sunday, okay? But what will happen when someone hear the gospel? That was exactly what happened in Thessalonica. The Bible tells us in the verse 4, Acts chapter 17, verse 4, some of them believe. Some of the people believe. And they consulted with Paul and Silas, okay, and of the devout Greek, the Bible say a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. These are some of the pioneer members of the Church of Thessalonica. But then at the same time, in fact, later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as we know what manner of men we were, as ye know, okay, what manner of men we were among you by for your sake, okay? So many of them, they trusted the Lord, and these are some of the pioneer members of that church. Some believe. But at the same time, when the word of God is being preached, some will reject. It's just like every Sunday, I believe, in this church, it's the same. It's just like the church back in Kuala Lumpur. Every Sunday, after the preaching of the word of God, after the gospel is being preached, some will believe, some will walk out not believing what they have heard. And Acts chapter 17, verse 5 say, but the Jews which believe not, there were some that don't believe. And those who don't believe, it's all right if they just don't believe and they leave us alone. But here in this church, in this place, okay, Thessalonica, it was different. The Bible says they moved with envy, took unto them certain new fellow and of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. Jason is another man, okay, from the Church of Thessalonica. And sought to bring them out to the people. And so they find that those who did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ at that time in this city of Thessalonica, they persecuted the church. It was just 3 weeks of preaching only, okay? Paul had not preached for a long, long time. It was not that the church had been there for 9 years or 10 years. It was only three weeks in a row. And then you find that those who did not believe persecuted the church, start persecuting the church. And the Bible tells you now, verse 6, okay? And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the ruler of the city, crying, these have turned the world upside down and are come thither also. They know about Paul. Paul had been preaching all over. And then everywhere Paul goes, somehow the world become upside down. Actually, it's downside up, okay? When they turn to the Lord, it become right, not wrong, okay? So it's the other way. But then you find that they say these are the people, you know, and then you find that the home Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, and saying that there is another king, one Jesus, and they trouble the people and the ruler of the city when they had heard this thing, and when they had taken security of Jason and all of the other, okay, they let them go. But then you find that Paul, if you continue to read on, okay, you know that Paul was forced to leave the city. After he preached for a few weeks, then you find that some people got saved, some reject. Those who reject persecuted the church, and Paul had to leave. And after Paul left the church, okay, we know that the Apostle Paul was concerned about this church. He really concerned about this group of the well-being of this group of believer. And twice, if you read the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 17 and 18, you know that twice he tried to come back to this church, to this city, to find out what is going on with the believer here in this church. But he was hindered somehow. He tried, but he was not able to come. And then later on, you find that Paul was not able to hold back anymore. He was in Corinth at that time already. And so he wanted to really find out what is going on with this group of believers who are excited when he went there and got saved. What is going on? What will happen to them? You know, they are being persecuted. Will they be able to continue to serve the Lord, or are they going to give up? And you know, what will happen to this group of believers? Paul sent Timothy back to this city. And you read that also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Okay, Timothy was sent back in verse 1 and 2. And So he said, in fact, he said something like that. Therefore, when we could no longer forbear, you know, he was so concerned. And he thought, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And so he was left alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and the minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So Timothy was sent back. And a few months later, Timothy came back to the Apostle Paul and explained to Paul what was going on in Thessalonica. And then joyfully, Paul penned down 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is one of the very first letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And in this book, as he wrote, the Bible tells this church, okay, though they only spent a very limited time, okay, with the Apostle Paul, not a long period of time. Some churches, they have the opportunity of spending 3 years with the Apostle Paul. Some shorter, some longer, but this is only a few weeks. But yet this church has such a good testimony. They continue to persevere. They continue to serve the Lord. And although they were being persecuted, but yet they continue. And Paul rejoiced greatly because not only these young believers remain faithful to the Lord, but their church was also growing. This is your team, a growing church. That's why you have this verse. The church was growing. And in fact, they became the example to all other churches. They set the example. They show you what a growing church is supposed to be like. And so here you find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, so that ye were example to all the all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You are the example. You show people, you show other churches how a church should be operated. And then you go on to say, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We don't even have to say more about what is going on. You know, you say, from you, the word of God is being sounded out. This church was evangelistic. You know, they reach out, and then the word sounded out means that it was like a trumpet. You know, you blow a trumpet, you can be heard from far. And that was this church. When we look at a growing church, our normal tendency, okay, is always to find out what is the methodologies, what is your plan, what is your program. You know, you find that those things are all right. You need to have plan, you need to have program, you need to have methods, okay? But we tend to look into all those things. You know, you go to a church, sometimes I go and visit some churches and say, oh, your church is doing great, you know, what is your method, what is your plan? You know, I want to embrace the same plan, you know, and we think plan will do the job or a method will work, you know. And so many churches or many people or even sometimes we preacher or a pastor, you know, we end up putting a lot of emphasis on programs, on activities, on plans. But this is not exactly how we grow a church. You know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, not about the plan, is what was the motivation? What was the motivation? You know, you find that for someone who do well, you know, they always have in this motivational seminar, you always talk about the driving force. What will motivate you? What will drive you to serve or do? Or what will drive you in the morning to walk out from your house, you know, and go to another customer, you know, and sell your product? What is the driving force? Of course, for salespeople, maybe some of them is the money, you know, some of them is position, you know, that is the driving force. And that's why you find that some salespeople, they are very aggressive, you know, because they have a goal, their driving force. Then how about Christian? What is the thing that will drive us to serve the Lord, that will motivate us to live for the Lord every day, every single day of our life? And this is what is important for a growing church. And it's found in this church. You know, you find that the Apostle Paul wrote, okay, you know, chapter 1, verse 3, okay? And this is a driving force. This is the motivation of this church. This chapter 1, verse 3 tells us why this church is growing. Why from this church, the gospel is being sounded out. It's because of these words, chapter 1, verse 3. And the Bible says, remembering, Paul say, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. There's only three, these are the three things that drive them or that motivate them to serve the Lord. And so the message is only 3 points. So here you find that 3 points, okay? And I only have a 3-point message here. They are work of faith. Of course, we know Paul was not talking about salvation of faith here. You know, we cannot be saved by our own works. We are saved by grace through faith alone. You know, the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar passage, chapter 2, verse 8, you know, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't work for our salvation, nor do we work to keep ourselves saved. Now, this morning, if you get saved, it's because there was sometime in the past in your life, in one moment in your life, you realize that you are a sinner, come short of the glory of God. You realize that you cannot do anything to save yourself, and you heard the gospel. Someone lovingly shared with you the word of God. It may be someone here in the church. It may be some of your friends out there. They share with you the gospel. They share with you how Jesus Christ came, why he came to die for you at the cross of Calvary, you know, how he was buried and on the third day rose again. And at that moment when you realize that you are lost, you cannot save yourself, and you believe what God has done for you, what Christ has done for you at the cross of Calvary, and you accepted him as your Savior, you believe, and you got saved. No other thing is required. Salvation is by grace, plus and minus nothing. You don't add anything, you don't minus anything. That's salvation. It's very simple. You just believe. Maybe some of you here have not. I trust that you will talk to Pastor Johnny Dunn later, you know, to know how you can be saved. So you find that yet the faith that saves us, okay? Though we know that we are not saved by work, by faith plus work, but we are saved by a faith which works, or that works. That faith works. It wouldn't just stop there. You know, you find that a person who is saved, the Bible tells us that a person who is saved, okay, will serve, will have an evidence of their life. That is the work of faith. You know, in how works of faith, what is work actually works of faith? Are we, when we come to church as a believer, when we do something, is it the work of faith? How do we know our work is a work of faith? Of course, when God burdens our heart to do something, you know, and you know that you need to exercise faith to believe God, that is the work of faith. But then the Bible shows example, some of the work of faith, okay? And here in Luke chapter 5, you can turn there. Luke chapter 5, this is an account in the Bible that the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, okay, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, okay, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, before him, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. I know this is, the story is simple, okay? The incident, what happened here is that there are four friends. They really concerned about a friend who was have this sickness of palsy, okay? And so he cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they carry with the bed, okay? Like carry him to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was so crowded. They can't find a way in. They try maybe to push their way through, cannot. They there's no way to go in because it was so crowded. And so they thought of a way. They climb up to the rooftop. And they open up the roof. They lower down that person right before the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time I read this verse, I find it very interesting because the following verse says something like that. in verse 20, the word of God is put it this way. When our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Bible says, when the Lord Jesus Christ saw what? Saw their faith. Whose faith? I believe when they come down, everybody was, what is going on up there? Everybody is looking up there. And our Lord Jesus Christ will look up. Our Lord Jesus Christ saw their faith. It's their faith. And then he talked to that man and said unto him, man, thy sin are forgiven thee. He's not talking about that 4%. He's talking about this. But then he saw their faith. You see, when you bring people to Christ, that is the work of faith. The reason you bring people to Christ, because you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. The reason you bring people to Christ, because you believe neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You believe. That's why you bring people to Christ. That is work of faith. Because you know that there's no other way. Only Christ can save those people that you care about. You believe because everyone can. You also believe that everyone can be saved. Because you believe that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that any should come to repentance. Every should come to repentance, okay? That is work of faith. Because you believe what the word of God says, and so you acted upon it. You believe that Christ, only Christ can save. And you know that, you believe that if they don't get saved, they will end up in the lake of fire. You believe. And so you act upon it. That is work of faith. Faith is actually the response of our soul, the soul of man, to the word of God. That is faith. How you respond to the word of God, that is faith. And your response to the word of God must somehow turn into an action. That is the work of faith. You know, sometimes we read the word of God, you know, and we just read. But do you know what the word of God say? The word of God say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you read the word of God, that should somehow generate faith. You know, this is what the word of God say. I know the word of God say, you know, we should be honest. Okay, now I'll be honest. Then you come into an action, that become work. You know, the reason why you want to be an honest person, because the word of God says so. You know, the reason why you want to share the gospel, okay, is because you believe what the word of God says. So when a person responds to the word of God in a positive way, okay, then he walk by faith. Okay, then he is walking by faith. You know, in Luke, since you are here in Luke, okay, Luke chapter 5, okay, if you turn to Luke chapter 5. Here we have another encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Luke chapter 5, okay, and here we have a time, okay, the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, there are also multitude, okay, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two sheep standing by the lake. Is this because it's running out of battery? It's charged, right? Okay, because sometimes when this, if this one have no battery, it might, no, it's okay. So here you find that the Bible says in verse 2, and the two sheep standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, and he entered into one of the sheep, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And when he sat down, taught the people out of the sheep. So here you find that the Lord Jesus Christ was there at the beach, okay, you can put it this way, and he was teaching, and then the crowd was so huge that it's a bit dangerous, okay? So he went into a ship, thrust a bit further, so that people cannot really push it into the sea. And from there, he taught the people. And then the Bible tells us that after he had finished, when he had done speaking, okay, in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And this is what work of faith is all about. Peter was a very experienced fisherman. So he worked whole night. And he was trying to catch something. And it was nothing. And the next morning when he was sitting there, I believe he heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach. And when he had done preaching, this is almost like an invitation. You really believe me? And so now, go further, okay? Launch out into the deep and cast your net. And Peter said, I am a very experienced fisherman. We work whole night. We get nothing. Don't waste our time here. He could have said something like that, but he did not, okay? But he just told the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, there is work of faith. At thy word, because you say so. Because that's what the word of God says. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, because at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, the work of faith is that sometimes you don't even believe that the result will come. You know, Peter, when he cast the net, do you know what he says? His heart? Maybe. I do not know. He'll say, okay, just do it for him. Okay, he is a master. Just do it for him. I don't think we are going to catch anything. And so he was like, just cast the net, then hopefully just drag it, and then clean it a bit, okay? Maybe he said, okay, see if it's just many, clean it a bit, never mind. He might have that in mind. And when we have work of faith, sometimes you don't even know how the result is going to come. It's not about the result. Work of faith is about just doing exactly what God says. It's just like we believe in the power of God. We believe God is able to work, and so we just obey Him and do whatever He says. We believe that the gospel is the power unto salvation. So we preach the gospel. We are not going to dilute the gospel. We are not going to change our message. We are going to, I'm thankful that Ambassador Baptist Church, after 9 years, still preach the same gospel. You have not changed the gospel, have you? No. Because we believe in the power of the gospel. Like what the Bible, what Paul say, okay? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power unto God, unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, and to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. You know, so here you find that we believe in the power of God, the power of the gospel. So we preach the gospel. After so many years, we still preach the gospel. Still the same old message. That's why we sing the song, tell me the old story. We have no new message today. So every Sunday, if you go to my church, you hear the same message from me over and over again. It's the same message. We don't change the gospel, because the gospel is a power unto salvation, power of God unto salvation. And also we believe in the power of preaching. We are not going to have a talk show. You know, some churches now, they don't like to have a preacher standing here. I mean, it's kind of boring. One guy keeps shouting and shouting. You know, why do you want to have a guy here shouting, you know? So they have a lady and two men. They talk, they have questions, they hear crack a joke, then hear ask a question, you know, then maybe if they do read the Bible, maybe read a verse or two, you know, and most of the time they don't. It was like those talk show that you hear in the radio, okay? But then we believe in the power of preaching. We still preach. We still use the old method that God has laid down for us. You know, the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of of the cross, okay, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Somehow God used this method. God said, you preach. People need to hear in order to know the truth. And then they will be saved, okay? And if they respond in a positive way, you know, the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians also, verse 1, say, for all that is in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And to the world, yeah, it looked kind of foolish, okay? And it's kind of silly for all of you to sit here, you know, and listen to one guy standing in front shouting and shouting. You know, of course, preaching is not shouting, okay? But to the world may look at it that way, you know? And look at all the things that we just read from the Word of God, you know, and explain what the Word of God say, you know, and it's no entertainment, there's no magic show here, there's no presentation, you know, and there's no, they want other things. The world wants something exciting, you know, and sometimes some churches want to give what the world wants, but we just give your preaching from the word, preaching of the word. Preaching is the number one thing in the church. We believe that God is able, and also you find that just like our church, you know, when we raise our building fund for our new building that we got a few years ago, we believe the Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? So we believe that it is not right for a church to get any support or offering for the building from the unsafe. So we don't want to have, we don't have the fund, we don't sell ticket, we don't have funfair, we don't want to have all other things, or dinner table. Some churches, they sell dinner table. They sell those dinner table to the unsafe. You know, you have 1,000 for one table, and also they have all the unsafe during the dinner, and you know, then they are so proud that they have raised so much money. But we believe the word of God say it's not, God is not happy with that kind of offering. So we just trust the Lord, and God provided. Do you believe in the power of prayer? You know, we talk about prayer. You know, like someone say, prayer is one of the subjects that mentioned the most, preached the most, taught the most. And you go to the bookstore, Christian bookstore, you have, I don't know how many copies they have, not counted, but you have so many books on prayer. But yet, do you believe the Bible say, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive? To end this first point, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. So we need to have a work of faith. Whatever we do, it must be because we believe what God says. That's work of faith. We go so willing. Because we believe what God says, these people need to be saved. We pray because we believe that God answers prayer. We don't just do something for fun, to fill our time. You know, church is not like full of activities so they kind of keep our time, you know, and have some time thing to do together. No. We do it, we do certain things, it's because we believe, we have faith in what the word of God says. Then their labor of love, okay, quickly we move on. You know, the Bible tells us that this believer, okay, they have this work of faith, a labor of love, okay. Of course, we know in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And then the Apostle John continued in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So when we labor, it's because we love him. We love God. And like what your pastor said in your notes, and even the song that we have sang just now, because love somehow will work, somehow will labor. Love will labor. If you love someone, you will do something for them. You know, it's just like if you love during the dating time, if you love your future wife, you will do a lot for her, okay? I remember celebrating the first birthday for my wife. That was during the dating time. I think she turned 21. And it was like I'm not very good at that, okay? You really don't know what to do for that. But then you know, okay, for birthday, for your future wife, okay, but now it's your girlfriend, you need to have flower, okay? So early in the day, you go to the very busy street, you know, you look for a place to park, you know, you walk around, look for one, okay? And they cannot afford a lot, so buy one stop of grocer. Then you need to have a gift, you know. Then what do you do with gift? So cake is easy, okay? Buy the cake is easier. Just buy one cake. But then buy a small cake. Then the gift is difficult. Then what to buy for girls? Though I have four sisters, okay, I really don't know what to buy for a girl. But then I walk around. You have to spend, I spend so much time in this mall, the shopping mall, look around for something. Then I found a bear that I like. I think she will lie. But then Further down, there was another bear. I don't like the bear, but I like the glasses of the bear. Because I like this bear with the glasses to give to my wife. Not that time, she's not my wife yet, my girlfriend, okay? And but then they were separated. I cannot afford to buy two, and so I need the glasses, but I need a bear. And I have to almost beg the sales girl. I say, look, I want to buy this, but I need the glasses. Can you somehow take the glasses and put it here? They say, no, cannot. You cannot work that way, you know. And I say, no, I really have to do it this time, okay? You, if possible, I really want it. After talking to them for a while, they finally, okay, this guy must be in love. This guy. And they finally agree. They took the glass and they put it on this bear. And I was paying the price for this bear only, not for two bears, okay? Those toys, soft toys, okay? And so you find that you're willing to do a lot if you love someone. Just like Jacob, okay, the Bible tells us he loved Rachel. This Jacob is a little poor guy, okay? He got a father who somehow deceived him. So a father-in-law that deceived him. And he need to work 7 years for his wife. And in fact, after 7 years, he still got deceived, okay? He got a different wife, okay? But anyway, but he worked 7 years. But the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 29, verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. 7 years. Can you imagine he worked 7 years, not 7 days. 7 years taking care of the sheep. 7 years. I mean, if you have been to some country where they have a lot of sheep, you know, sheep can be very smelly. 7 years living with the sheep. 7 years. And the word of God say, and they seem unto him but a few days. How come 7 years become like a few days? Because of love. Because of love. And that's why this church is able to do so much for the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of all the persecution. They can go on because they love the Lord. The Apostle Paul was able to go in and out of prison. He was able to receive all the stripes. You know, there are a few times the Bible tells you he received 40 save one. You know, you find that then he was stoned once. He's not like us, okay? When we go to another country, we check into the hotel. He make a booking with a prison. You know, that's the Apostle Paul. But in all those years, he served. And the reason why he can keep going is because he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It was the love of Christ. Not because they know Christ loved them and they love Christ. So do we love the Lord? And how do we know whether we love the Lord or not? Now, this morning is very easy for us to just come here. If I ask this question, how many of you love the Lord? Raise up your right hand. And then I think many of you maybe sincerely raise your hand. Some who are not sincere, but then everybody is raising their hand, so I better raise my hand. So we do not know. But how do you know that someone loves the Lord? How do you know that you love the Lord? The test is very simple. There's only one test. Whether you love the Lord or not, our Lord Jesus Christ knows. One day, Pastor Bildor is going to ask you this question. So the Lord Jesus Christ say in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So this morning, you know whether you love the Lord or not. It's not about what you have done. It's about whether you keep his commandment or not. Love the Lord is not about, Lord, I love you. No, it's not like stand there whole morning, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. You know, it's not doing that. Yeah, sometimes it's true. You need to tell the Lord that you love him. But it's to keep his commandment. That means you have to read the Bible, understand what the word of God say, and obey the word of God. Love not only labels, love will obey. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, if a man say, I love God, you know, remember this, when Peter, before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he denied the Lord. And then after that, he basically gave up serving the Lord. And then, of course, then he was back in the Sea of Galilee, you know, and our Lord Jesus Christ was there, showed himself again. And they dragged again, they were able to catch many fish. And our Lord already set up all the fire and everything, you know, and they then asked them, And when they were eating, in fact, the Bible make it very interesting that nobody talk. And when you read the word, sometimes it's very interesting. I find it very interesting because that's exactly how we behave. You know, we are all wrong. We somehow deny the Lord. We ran away. And so when the Lord Jesus is sitting there, you know, and they eat quietly, just eat, nobody talk, you know. And you read the word of God, that's how he presented to us. And when you are wrong, you know, like just children, when they are wrong in front of the parents, they are all very quiet, you know, just quietly eat. Then after that, the Bible tells us, and in verse 15, so when they have died, nobody talk, okay, they finish eating, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, of course, the these is, someone say it could be, he was referring to, lovest thou me more than these, the people, the other 10, because just before that, he told the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they, I know when he say, I'll forsake you, that means they are referring to the rest, he will still go on. But yet you find that, lovest thou more than these? Or he was referring to the fish, referring to other things, okay? Because he wanted to go back to his business of catching fish, okay? And then the Bible, Jesus say, okay, he say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He say, feed my lamb. And then this one was repeated 3 times. Every time he was, do you love me? Then he said, yeah. You know, he didn't even dare not to say what is in his heart. Okay, he said, you know, Lord, you know better. And because you know that I will deny you in the first place. So you know. And every time he kind of admit that he loved the Lord said, you feed my sheep or my lamb. You see, you can't really serve the Lord without loving the Lord. And when Jesus wants to confirm his call and the ministry is going to be given to the apostle Peter, he had to let Peter know, you serve me because you love me. And it was interesting after that, if you read the word of God, and you know, then Jesus told him that how he's going to die eventually. And then he turned around and looked at John, what is going to happen to that guy? And Jesus said, no, don't worry about what's going to happen to that guy. It's you. You love me, you just serve me. That is labor of love. You know, sometimes we look around and say, how come I'm the only one? No, it's not about you are the only one. You love the Lord, you do what you're supposed to do. Leave the other person to the Lord. If he obey the Lord, praise the Lord, we walk together. If they disobey the Lord, pray for them, okay? And just keep going. That's what a growing church will do. There will bound to be some who disappoint us. There will bound to be some who will somehow discourage us. We pray for them. We can't do much. Because if they don't love the Lord, they can't really serve the Lord. If a person do not love the Lord, they can be here in the church, but it won't work. Because they will complain more than, they will murmur and complain. But if they love the Lord, they will labor, they will obey. They don't obey me, okay? They don't just obey the pastor, they obey the word of God. You see, what the pastor is doing is that every Sunday, we just tell you what the Word of God say. And we hope that you will obey the Word of God, not obey me. Or not obey Pastor Johnny Tan, but obey the Word of God. So here you find that love will labor and will obey. And then, of course, there's a patient of hope. Okay, here they have hope in the Lord. Men cannot live without hope, do you know? If you don't have hope, you can't really live. You can't survive long. And most of the people, if you talk to them, they generally believe and expect things will be better tomorrow. That's why they want to keep going. Because they know that, oh, maybe tomorrow will be better. And it's just like Malaysian, okay? Malaysia, one time, everybody was disappointed with the, okay, I cannot tell a lot of politics here. No politics here, okay? Not very happy with the country or with the government, you know? And some people start to put a lot of their hope in the so-called opposition and or the other group, okay? They put their hope in the man, they put their hope in people or in things. But that is not our real hope. Our hope is not in people. Pastor Titus of this New Testament, okay? He say we have this blessed hope. That is what we have. We cannot put our hope in man. Because you must remember that we are all fallen human beings. Fallen, we have failed the Lord, we come under the curse, you know, and you remember when man sin, Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. That one thing that the Lord did with them is that the Lord drove them out from the Garden of Eden. They were out from paradise. And do you know what happened after that? Man, since then, have been trying to build their own paradise outside the paradise. That is what the world is trying to do. But you won't get it done that way. You have to first somehow get saved. You know, you first have to get, you have to get saved first. And you know, then only you can have a paradise. Eventually you'll go to paradise and to be with the Lord. But the people in the world generally are trying to build a paradise. And we believers don't look for things like that. We don't put our hope in country. We don't put our hope in people. We don't put our hope in things of this world. We put our hope in the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, this is the theme of chapter 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. We are waiting for that time. You see, when you have hope, hope does not get discouraged easily. Hope will survive even through tough time. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's hope. We don't look at the things, the present thing. We don't look at what we can see now. We look at what we cannot see. What you cannot see today? Heaven, you cannot see. The golden street, you cannot see. A mansion in heaven, you cannot see. But we have that hope. We hope. We know we cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ. We are waiting for His appearing. That is hope. That is the one that keep this church going. This hope keep this church going. Now the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not only that we will reap here on earth, but when we continue to work, we know one day our rewarder will come. We are waiting for Him to come and to reward us. We are not looking for things here on earth. But if you are working for the things here on earth, you will be very miserable one day. You know, if you are saved and you are putting all your time and energy on things of this world, you will be very, very miserable one day. You know, like some people go to heaven very miserable. You know why? Because you find that in this Corinthian talk about when you go to heaven, you know, everything will be examined by fire, test by fire, you know. And some actually go empty. After that, it will be all empty. It's almost like go through the custom, and the custom say this one cannot go through, all have to be rejected. You know, that time that you go through, you know, you are saved. You know that you're saved, but you have nothing to use it to serve the Lord, to use it to glorify God, to use it to cast before the throne of God. You know, we want to receive some of this crown one day, you know, and so that we can use it to praise and worship our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, okay, talking about this hope. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the Bible says, for we have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Hope will keep us going. Hope, not just keep us going. Hope will purify us. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, and every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. For children, sometimes children, when the father, mother say, okay, we're going to be out for a few hours, just stay at home, behave yourself, and then the mother, or maybe most of the time the mother will say, okay, I want you to get this thing done, okay? Maybe this clothing fold up, no, and you do. I just give you this few things to do. And what happens is that children, okay, so they will play. The moment the father mother go out, they play and play. Then they know, okay, 7 o'clock they are coming. 6:45, they straight away go and do whatever they need to do. Now the parents are coming. They start doing whatever it was instructed. And here the word of God tells, if you really have this hope in Christ, that you know He's coming, you will keep yourself pure because He is pure. You don't want to come before Him and be ashamed. You don't want to be at his appearing, there'll be ashamed, you know, like the Bible tells us. So here you find that hope not just will keep us going, hope will keep us pure. This church, the church of 1 Thessalonians, was really a growing church, because a few months later, or a few years later, the Apostle Paul wrote to this church again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you turn there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, let me show you these few verses, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth." They have faith, okay, work of faith, but now their faith groweth exceedingly. "And the charity, the love, okay, of every one of you, all toward each other aboundeth." Their love, their faith increased, their love aboundeth. "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure." They still continue on. They did not stop. There's another church in the Bible, okay? That's in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, there is the church of Ephesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ says something like that. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "I know..." This letter was written to the church of Ephesus. "You see, I know thy works. I know thy labors. I know thy patience, okay? And how thou canst not bear them which are evil and are, that has tried, and thou hast tried them, which say that they are apostles and they are not, and hast thou found liar," okay? Have found them liar, sorry. And here there's a good church also in a certain way. When you read this, you know, it's a church that work, the church that continue to make sure stay fundamental, you know, everyone that come in to preach, they will make sure that they are fundamental, they are independent Baptists, you know, they are King James defender, you know, we have this position like this church. But yet, yeah, you find that I like the word the Bible say, Jesus say, "I know." That means that he encourages nobody know what you are doing for the Lord, how you suffer for the Lord. Nobody appreciate what you are doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody know that you are hurting. Nobody know that you are in need, but God knows. And not only that God knows what you are going through, God also know what is your motive. Everything done in secret, the Lord knows. And this church that look very faithful, they look all right, but then there's something missing somehow. I do not know why the Bible did not say the church of Ephesus have the work of faith. They only have work. They have labor, but not labor of love. In fact, we know for sure they have no more love. This is a church that our Lord Jesus Christ kind of rebuilt them for leaving their first love. The church of Ephesus, you can see that here in Revelation chapter 2. They work, they keep themselves, keep doing the right thing, but yet there was no more love, maybe no more faith, I do not know. There's a lot of activities. A church cannot grow that way. If there is no faith, no love, no hope, you can keep doing. But like what the Bible says, Jesus said there's something against it, them, because of the, if you look at Revelation, okay, let me quote that verse for you. In Revelation chapter 2, here you find that in verse 4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." But do they still work for the Lord? Yes, they still work for the Lord. They still have a lot of activities. But yet there was no more love for the Lord. They have left their first love. Maybe they don't have faith in God also. They just keep doing what they were taught to do. I was in Myanmar, I told you earlier on. Now back to Myanmar. I started from Myanmar, now I'm going to go back to Myanmar. I was in the capital city of Myanmar, Yangon. And right in one of the very busy streets, there's a big building. It was the first Baptist church. And it was founded by the first disciple of Adoniram Judson. Right in the city. I said, "Oh, praise the Lord, there's a Baptist church still there." I walked into the Baptist church. I did not attend the service. I walked in, I looked at all the picture. Of the moment I walked in, I thought I was in the Catholic church. I looked at the picture of those priests, you know, they had their collar turned around, you know, and so it's like they have all this robe, you know. I say, what is going on here? The church still do a lot of work. There are a lot of activities. They still have worship in a certain way. But I believe there's no more faith, no more hope in God, no more love for God. They just have tradition. A church, if you one day end up having only tradition, you can't really grow. You may grow in number, but you will not grow in quality. To end the whole thing, okay, I tell you a fiction story. I told this story many times. Some of you from KL, you have heard that. And this is not a real story, but just a fiction story. But to make the what we call the impact, okay, after you hear the story, I have to use our Lord Jesus Christ and also the disciple. It was told. Our Lord Jesus Christ was to be the disciple one day, and they walked, and they took a journey from one side of the town to another town. Okay, there was a long travel that day. So before they start the journey, our Lord Jesus Christ told the disciple, I said, okay, we are going to take a long journey today, okay? Please pick up a stone, okay, or a rock when you go. So everybody, when you know they're going to take a long journey, what are you going to do when you need to pick up a rock? And so everybody look for one that is kind of like good size, can hold in your hand, that you can throw as you walk. And some just take one, if they do have pocket, I don't know whether they have pocket or not, then they put in their pocket. So it's kind of like easy walk, okay? So they go. Finally, they reach a destination. When they reach a destination, our Lord Jesus Christ did not do that, okay? But this is a story only. He turned the stone that to bread for that day. Well, all the disciples say, "I say, this is my dinner. I should have taken a bigger dinner. Why go and take a small rock, you know? And the one that I can throw up and down, and then now my dinner is so small." So everybody was, I know what to do next time, okay? I learned my lesson. So the following day, they're going to go another long journey as well. So the Lord Jesus Christ, early in the morning, say the same thing, please take a rock with you this time. Wow, everybody look for the bakers now. And if they can carry, they carry some of the big one. And everybody was walking like that, you know, the whole day. But then they were happy because they know that, oh, at the end of the day, I'm going to have a big meal today. So finally, they come to their destination. Our Lord Jesus Christ told them, please throw the rock that you carry with you this morning into the water, into the river. And I was like, why do you do that? Everybody was so upset and angry. And the question is that, do you serve the Lord because of some benefit? Do you serve the Lord because of some good things that you can get out of it? Or do you just serve Him because you love Him? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee once again for Your love to us. Thank Thee once again for dying for us at the cross of Calvary. We are thankful that because of what You have done at the cross, we can be saved. Our sin can be forgiven. And we can be reconciled with God. And we are thankful that, Lord, You have given us, show us Your love, and You have worked in every one of our life. And this morning, before I close in prayer, is there anyone here this morning that say, I am not a Christian. I have not trusted the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. If you say, you know, Pastor, I want, please pray for me. I really want to know how to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I know I come short of the glory of God, but I want to know how to be saved. Just raise up your hand. I'd like to pray for you. I won't call your name. I don't know your name, by the way, but I'd like to pray for you. And later, if you allow us, okay, I believe Pastor Johnny Tan will be more than willing to talk to you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Is there anyone here this morning that say, Pastor, here is my hand. please pray for me. I'm seriously considering my soul, the destiny of my soul. I want to know how to be saved. I'm not a Christian, but I want to know how to be saved. Is there anyone here this morning? Or maybe some of you here say, no, I think I'm saved, but I'm not very sure. But I want to be sure. And if you want me to pray for you, just raise up your hand. I'd like to pray for you before I hand this time back to your pastor. Is there anyone here this morning?
Maybe there's a Christian here who have heard about this church right now. Pastor Bilto has preached the three things: work of faith, labor of patience of hope. Do we work for the Lord because we believe the Bible says? We believe what the Bible says. Or we believe actually in our mind and we discuss it, but no action comes out of that. Do we labor because we love? Love will labor. And do we believe that Christ is coming soon? Is there a believer today that says, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to my heart through His word. I need to act on what God is telling. There's someone like that. Pastor, pray that I might be a Christian who labors because I love, who works because I have faith, and I will bear the thing come because I have hope that Christ is coming. Is there someone like that? Pastor, pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there someone else? Just put up your hand and I'll pray for you. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. As you put up and put down, I recognize it. Pray in your own heart, because it's your time with God. Someone else. Best these church members to be served because we love God. That's the key. Preacher Pastor Bilto just bring it very simply. The reason why we are serving is because we love Christ. We believe what He says in the Bible. Because of the hope we have. There's someone else. Before I close. Let's have a word of prayer then. Father, I thank you for the message that was preached. Lord, it's just a simple message of your goodness to the Church of Thessalonians. How, Lord, just within a short time, Lord, your power was demonstrated in the preaching of Paul and the church grew by leaps and bounds simply because they took note of your word and they believed it and they loved the Savior and believe that He's coming back. Father, I pray for those who put up their hands, I ask you, Lord, as they make decisions in their hearts to follow you, to serve you because they love you. Lord, I pray that our church will be undergirded with the motivation of love, hope, and faith. That, Lord, we will truly be a growing church, not, Lord, individually as a Christian, and corporately as a church, Lord, that we will constantly be growing in the right way. I pray for these brethren who has put up their hands as an indication of their desire to follow you, specifically, or you have spoken to them, they're making decisions. I ask you to seal their decisions, Lord, by your grace. Give them the strength to make decisions that are right. Give them the motivation that is right in your word. And help them to obey thy word as you speak with them, Lord, on a daily basis. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We are grateful for your word now as we go on to the rest of the program. We're going to sing a song just to remind ourselves, Lord, that we need to remain faithful. Oh, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's